Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Metzia Samach Zayin, Baba Metzia 67a, pagination is 133, but to get started, we're going to go back to the Mishnah on Samach He and introduce the concept that even in a sale, you can sometimes have a situation that is or is very like the concept of ribis, getting interest payments for lending money. Let's consider a case where a person went and bought a field. When he buys the field, he is giving money to somebody, and in return, he gets the field, and he starts benefiting from the field by harvesting its produce. If at a later date, the sale is undone for some reason, looking back at what happened, we see that essentially he lent money to the seller, and in return for what he lent to the seller, he got to eat the produce of the field for a period of time. That's in effect interest. He's getting benefit over and above the repayment of the money that he loaned or entrusted to the other person. Again, the buyer is giving money to the seller, and in return, he's getting the field and the ability to harvest its produce. If it's a straightforward sale which stands, then there's nothing wrong. You got property in exchange for payment, and now that it's yours, you do what you want with it. But if for some reason it gets undone, then we are looking at a ribis consideration. Let's take a look at the Mishnah, Samachei Amid Beis 65b, three lines down. Mocha lo es asode, if a person sells a field, v'nosan lo miktzas domim, and he was given some of the money. V'omar lo, and he says, emosei shetirtze havei ma'os v'tola shalach, whenever you want, bring the money and take what's yours. Asur, it's going to be forbidden. Rashi says, if you have the case that he says it's your property now, but you can't take ownership of it until you bring me the money, then the result is that the seller is still sitting on the ground, on the land, and getting the benefit. Says Rashi, Nimtze sha'asada knula yom mehayom, the buyer already owns it today. V'ze ochal haperos b'scharam ta'azmos, and the fact that the seller is waiting for the money is somehow entitling him to continue reaping benefit from the property. So that's interest that's in the seller's benefit. V'im yochal lokeach peros me'achshav, and if the buyer does start benefiting from the property, he does take ownership, shema l'yavim moser hamos, we should be worried that he might not fulfilled the condition of bringing the rest of the money, and the result will be, as we described in our original illustration, that whatever money he did pay to the seller wasn't really a purchase. It turns out that it was basically entrusted as a loan, and in exchange for that, the buyer or would-be buyer was benefiting from the property for that period of time. So these are examples of how the ribis laws could affect commerce, even though we think we're doing commerce, but if for some reason something has a fallout, it turns out that the money was being held, kind of entrusted, and if there's any benefit to one party or the other, we need to keep track of who's benefiting and why. Let's move on to today's daf, Samach Zayin, Amud Aleph, about a quarter of the way down, at the end of a line. Hahi itza, there was a woman. De amra le lahu gavra, she told a certain person, zil zaven li ara mikrivai, go buy a property from my relative, azal zaven lo, so he bought it for her. Amale, ihava li zuze mahadras la neheli. If I have money, will you give it back to me? Can I buy it back if I have money? Amale at venav la'ochi. We're close, we're relatives, we're friends, and yes, you can get it back. Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, kol at venav la'ochi, samcha daite. Indeed, that statement is binding in this sale, and the sale can be undone if the seller comes up with money and is able to buy it back. And the sale is not totally finalized. Ara hodra, the land would return if such accommodation is implemented. Perimai, what happens to the fruit? And that's where we have this interesting situation that we mentioned from the Mishnah, that whoever's benefiting from the fruit, if it's the result of entrusting money to the other party, it ends up being ribis. Ribis ketsutza hava v'yotza b'dayonim. Is it considered ribis ketsutza, a firm ribis law midoraisa biblically, and you could extract it through the court? Or is it like transactional and it's only rabbinic, and you can't get it back through the court? And the Gemara discusses, that it is part of a transaction and it's rabbinic violation and it cannot be extracted through the court. It's not actionable through the court. Fine. The Gemara considers another possibility also to appreciate how complex ribis is, to be paying attention. And over here, Amalei Abaye L'Rabba Mashkanta Mai. There was a case of a mashkon. A mashkon is collateral, but in this case, instead of just having the gold watch, for example, sitting on his shelf or in his safe, in this case, he was actually benefiting from the property. And although you might not be able to get that type of ribis back through the court, but the fact is that it is considered. It's like owed. And what this person did, as Rashi summarizes, Zorizhu, the person acted precisely. Ve'enu manicho lechol ela kedei hakeren. He allowed the person who lent the money to eat the produce in the value of the money that was borrowed, and not more. And then he comes back for his mashkon, and he says, listen, I'd never be able to get the avak ribis from you, but the fact is, you were already paid, because the amount you benefited from the mashkon is the amount of the loan. Rashi continues, Achal tfei lo mafkinon minei. But if the person would eat more than the amount of the loan from this mashkon collateral, from this field, then he wouldn't be able to extract the extra. Da avak ribisu, because that's a case of avak ribis. It's not biblical, it's only rabbinic, and therefore he would not be able to extract it. Ve'ena yotze bedayonim, can't do it through the court. So you have the person actually taking into account the fact that this money is owed, but it's not owed in a way that I can collect it. But if now I go and take my mashkon back, take the land back, I have the right to argue that the amount you benefited from the mashkon is the amount of the loan. It's no longer avak ribis, it's payment. And even though I wouldn't be able to extract the money and then pay you or anything like that, but the fact is, it's by you. You have that money, and that money really is not supposed to be by you, and therefore it is considered payment on the loan. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.